As I mentioned earlier, Eric Porter, come ahead, man. It's so good to have you with us this morning, and he's going to fill the pulpit this morning in Pastor Mike's absence, and I'm not going to give a lengthy introduction. He knows who he is, and he's going to tell you a little bit about who he is and the organization that he's with, but man, we are just thrilled to have you with us, buddy. God bless you, and church, make him welcome this morning.
Thank you so much for having us today, Pastor and church. You guys have a great church here. You know that, right? You know that because I get to go like church to church, you know, a few times a month, and I walked right in and saw like fellowship happening and conversation and shaking of hands, hugging of necks. That's beautiful. I think that makes God smile. CPS, thanks for being here today. I'm gonna have some fun with you. Yeah, come on, give it up for him. Usually when we do this on a Sunday, I get one or two, but man, there's like 20, 25 of you guys here. So we're gonna have some fun here in a minute with you guys. This is the Porter team right here. This is our crew. We got Madison, who is a teenager. Anybody have teenagers in the house? Let's all join a little committee or group and we'll pray. Okay. So we have a teenager. We have a soon-to-be teenager, Isaac, who's 12 right there. And Kale is up in your children's church, just turned 9. The older two are at finishing youth camp right now. So if my voice does something, I've been at camp with them. And then our youngest right there, our surprise, is Hallie, 5 years old right there. And that's my beautiful best friend, my bride. I'm not going to tell you her age because I want to stay married, right? So that's our crew. We became a foster family about 2 years ago. And we're in the process. I think we have a home study in about a week or two to become foster adopt family. So, okay, so here we go. We're going back in. So we haven't had a chance to adopt. These are all homemade kids. So, yeah, we haven't had a chance to adopt yet. We will. My camera angle comes from being a pastor. I've been in full-time vocational ministry for about 17 years now. 12 of those was a local church pastor, and then the last 5 is what we call U.S. missionary, where we get to raise our own support and all that stuff to do this, what we're doing here. So, but on our journey as a local pastor, here's what was going on. Really, everybody in this room were mandated reporters, right? If we think that a child is being abused, abandoned, or neglected, we have to call for the sake of safety and protection the hotline. Well, as a youth pastor, I was 2 years in Coppell, Texas, and then 10 years up in Springfield, Missouri, at a church of around 11,000 people. Here's what that means. 11,000 people just means I make more phone calls to the child abuse hotline than other youth pastors. Okay? When I made that phone call, it just ripped my heart out. I couldn't believe this biological father was beating his daughter with a cane because she didn't make straight A's. Couldn't believe a parent would put a child in the dryer to discipline them. I didn't understand what was going on, and as a pastor, it was breaking my heart. Obviously, men in the room, I got a little angry at the dad, right? There's some righteous indignation there, but we can't judge. I'll get to that here in a second. But I was frustrated at this dad that he would do this. But here's what I learned is that this girl didn't sign up for her problems. But that dad has some issues too. He needs help. He needs some help. So then my pastor hat came on and I said, what are we the church doing to help step into this space? We fly over kids to reach kids in other countries. Something's got to change. And God started showing me the stuff that is going on around the world. 140 million orphans in the world. But right here in our own backyard, there's over 400,000 children in the U.S. foster care system in our own backyard. 107,000 of those are ready for adoption. In this big old state of Texas, 30,000 kiddos in care. We're all in Region 3. I live in Ellis County. You guys, Johnson County. I know you can barely see that, but this is what they call CPS Region 3 right here. In that area right there, it's the second region in the state. This team has a hard job. Houston area is number 1. Dallas-Fort Worth is number 2. There are 3,621 kids in foster care in this Region 3. 60% of them get placed outside of their county. So if they're in Johnson County, maybe one of our Ellis County families take them in. And the reason, most of the time, is because there's not enough families in Johnson County to keep Johnson County kids in their schools, with their friends, where they feel comfortable. 60% of those. Kids waiting for adoption in Region 3 is 1,289 kiddos. Right now, today, whose parents' rights have been terminated, they have no relative that will take them in. Over 1,200 need moms and dads today. Johnson County, let's bring it real home here, okay? Johnson County, 199 in foster care. 199. Ready for adoption today, 91 kids. Now, I don't know, Pastor, but I bet you there's over 90 churches in this county. I know there is. See, the way we see it is there's 348,000 churches, in the U.S., and there's 400,000 kids. 30,000 kids in foster care, 27,000 churches in Texas. If every church had one family taking one child, we could empty the foster care system in this state of Texas. It's problem solvable. It's not just some idea. This is problem solvable. That's what we're talking about today. 4,000 in this state are ready for adoption right now in Texas. And as I said, 27,000 churches. So God called us out of local church and said, Eric, you're fired up. He got us personally involved, right? And he said, I want you to use your leadership and get involved in this and become a missionary and raise your own support. And so we did. 5 years ago, we just started this journey. This space wasn't defined. It didn't even exist. So we had to start from scratch, and we started this ministry called The Keep. The Keep is the fortified, walled area of a castle where they used to take the vulnerable during battle. Church, there's a battle going on for the kids, and we believe the church is meant to be the keep. So we're going around city to city, county to county, state to state, really, and trying to build that wall, rebuild that wall like Nehemiah did. Back in the church, so the church can do the job of caring for orphans that the church is mandated, required to do. So here's what God said I want you to do. So I know it's a little blurry here, but I'll walk you through it. 140 million kids in the world, 400 in the U.S. Those kids need to get into those homes over there. See, we were raised in the U.S. thinking institutional care was the solution. But the government, these agencies, hundreds of different organizations are realizing that institutional care is not the solution. A local home is the solution for these kids. And what's interesting are the studies are catching up to the Bible. Because the Bible, thousands of years ago in Psalm chapter 68, verses 5 and 6, said that God is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows, and he puts the lonely in families. Families, church. That's where these kids can get the greatest healing, healthy families over there. And so you look into Johnson County and say, okay, Johnson County, where can we go find a bunch of healthy families? Walmart? Maybe. There's a bunch of families at Walmart congregating, right? But we believe the church is the best place to find healthy families. And so there's other things that exist. There's foster care adoption, and these orphan missions would be like local children's homes. There's children's homes right here in our counties that we can go to. We don't have to go to Haiti and Africa, though we need to. God cares about all those kids, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. But there's some in our own backyard. So we can take missions trips locally and internationally to help these kids. The Keep is right there in the middle. We're like a bridge between the church and all these groups. Let's talk about these groups. When God showed me this picture in October 2011, and I drew it out almost like one of those napkin moments, right? Okay, God, I'm listening. And he said, I want you to work with the government, CPS. I was like, uh-oh. I was like, wait a second, God, because I'm church. I'm clergy. And somewhere in history, I wasn't there, but there was a line in the sand that was drawn and said, church, you play in this little area, and state, you play over there. And then I was telling God about that line, right? I said, God, I don't know. You know, there's this, you know, and he said, I don't remember making that line. Oh, I'm listening, okay? He said, why don't you walk a mile in CPS's shoes? Okay. Because, see, I didn't know what happened after I made that phone call. I didn't. I heard stories. I can read the news. But I've learned that the news doesn't always report the truth. And the rumors aren't always true. So God was like, hey, Eric, I need you to work with the government. You see, the government, the CPS, 9,000 employees in the state of Texas, 9,000, who we voted in this law and these requirements for them to protect these kids, to be legal protection, safety, right, for these kids. They're not called to be family. They're called to be safety and protection. The church is called to be family. But we somehow, 60 years ago, when foster care was created, stepped out of helping these kids in our own backyard and said, government, well, you're doing such a good job with that foster care idea. I want you to become family too. And the government's like, nope, we need families. We need families. That's why one of the reasons they come to the church with us is because they say, we need families. I started walking a mile in their shoe, and I started learning from first-person chair what really is going on in their world, right? You know what, something I found out? They're not in it because of the money. Right? No? They're not. They're not in it because they like a 2 a.m. phone call that wakes them up and sends them to a house where there could be drugs or alcohol or just who knows behind that door to remove a child for safety reasons. So they're in it because they love children. And they want to help kids. Church, that sounds very similar to what we want. We want to help kids. I was going on this journey, and I started seeing all these articles of, you know, CPS this and CPS, and it was all bad-mouthing, you know, CPS. And I started thinking about that, using my brain, right, church, and just thinking about it and go, wait a second. The media, and I love the media. I think the media is very important and critical. So if you work in media, help me with what I'm telling you here, okay? Is the media oftentimes chooses to highlight the lowlights of CPS. When's the last time you saw the hundreds and thousands throughout the state of Texas of adoptions that this crew verified throughout the year? Saving these children's lives. But the media has a tendency to highlight the lowlights. I was like, we need to flip the script. We need to flip the script, church. We the church, can't listen to what they say. We've got to work together with them. And I think about firefighters. I love firefighters. I think I wanted to be one at some point, like most boys, you know. I wanted to, you know, go in there and rush into a burning building and save the life of a child, you know. And media, you know what they do? They highlight the highlights of the firefighters. Last time I checked, firefighters are human, and they probably make some mistakes along the way. But thankfully, media isn't highlighting the lowlights, they're highlighting the highlights. So that's what I see on this. So church, what we've got to get to a place, instead of demonizing CPS, at the minimum, we need to humanize them. But I'm saying they're heroes. I'm saying they're heroes. They have a hard job. And we got to work together for the sake of the kids. Okay? It's not just me that sees this. We actually captured a video. Maybe some of you guys have heard about this. On June 7th, we played it live, where we had state officials come to Waxahachie, Texas. Governor did a video for us. And we showed this video, and we got permission to show it today, and that's why they're here. We want to appreciate them and honor them. So if you guys will do me a favor, as soon as this starts playing here a second, if you guys, all current CPS employees, and some of you might have not, you missed the section, it's okay, just come down. Current CPS, and I know, we're not going to embarrass you, we're just going to honor you, okay? And come up front right here and come across, and we're going to do something. But as soon as this starts getting played, I'm going to start playing it, I think, as soon as I touch it right here, and we're going to honor you. So you guys go ahead and stand up and come on up here. I want you to watch the video, too, while you're walking around.
You never know from day to day when your world will become an emergency room. The wounds you treat, you don't always feel prepared to face, yet you confront the pain and suffering as best you can to bring healing to those cries you know all too well.
You protect and you serve, sometimes even putting yourself in harm's way for the good of the safety of those who may never acknowledge and perhaps even criticize the good that you do.
The nightmares that many of us have only heard about, you have actually seen, and you don't turn away. You go in fearlessly despite the danger that is all around you.
You bring light into the darkest of places, and many times bring hope to the hopeless in a world of chaos. You are the voice of peace and the embrace of love. Your compassion is unfailing, and you are a servant of grace and mercy.
No one really knows the sacrifices you have made as you stand on guard for others. You answer the call no matter where it may take you. You serve with honor, and you back down from nothing.
All I remember about that night is how scared I was. All the yelling and screaming, I just wanted to disappear. I ran into the bathroom and covered myself with a blanket in the bathtub and started praying. Then I remember you kneeling beside the tub, telling me it was going to be okay. It was like you were the answer to my prayers.
My father was in prison when I was born, so I never really knew him. My mom was drinking a lot and trying other things to help her escape from the burden of raising me and my sister alone. When I turned 12, my mom told me it was my fault that her life had been ruined and I was to blame. Not long after, I came home from school one day and found her passed out on the floor with the police cars outside our apartment. But that's when I met you. You told me it wasn't my fault and that I was a blessing, not a burden. You helped my mom get the help she needed, and you believed in us. You believed in me.
There were days when I didn't want to live anymore. When you experience what I went through, you sometimes wonder if you can ever go on. You just want to give up, but you wouldn't let me give up. You fought for me when no one else did.
I grew up in foster care. In that world, there was only one constant in my life, you. Through all of the placements, you were always there for me. When I was about to turn 18, I knew that I was going to be out, but you found a place for me to be in. And now I have enrolled in college, I have a good job, a future, and I still have you. You are my family.
You are my encourager.
You are my protector.
You are my champion.
You are the healer.
You are the finest.
You are the bravest.
You are the comforter.
Thank you for your service.
Come on, give it up for your seat. Yes. Stand up. We'll keep standing. We're going to pray for them in just a second. Hey, you guys right here, the CPS, the heroes on the front lines. When you're tired, when you're ready to, you know, I coach my team, like there's the white towel you throw in, you know what I'm saying? When you're ready to look at the towel, when you're ready to grab that white towel, and when you're ready to even throw in that towel, look at this church here. Remember this scene right here and how much they love you. They're praying for you, and we are with you on this. I need you to remember this moment because you don't get this very often, if ever. This is becoming a new favorite thing for me, man. This is awesome, Pastor. Pastor's hearts here in your staff church. This was their idea. I'm along for the ride. Pastor and the staff have a small little gift card they're going to pass out to you guys here and hand you. Go ahead, Pastor. It's just small little thank you. Nothing big, just something small to thank you tangibly for what you do to help our kids Everybody say our kids. Come on, everybody say our kids. Not yours. They're not the churches. They're our kids. It's community. It's Johnson County CPS right here. We honor you. We thank you for what you do. Church, can we pray for them? I need it, okay? This is hard. This is frontline stuff, okay? Father, thank you for these amazing staff members. And we the church, call it called. They're called. They've signed up. They sense a direction in their life to help children who are hurting, families who are hurting. We're honored to be in a nation, in a state, in a county that pays people to help these kids. Though it might not be a lot, I pray it's enough to pay the bills, and I pray that today that maybe they walk a little taller, that they have a little more confidence, a little more pep in their step from today, that they might get their hardest case today, their hardest case tonight or this week, but they would remember this day, that when they hit up against the walls of all the bureaucracy and all the challenge and even the challenges that it just is to find a family, God, that they would know that you're with them. Not just this church, but our Heavenly Father is with them. Protect them. Give them rest when they sleep. Help them to have wisdom, God. They're making life-altering decisions for these kiddos. I pray for wisdom beyond their years as they make these decisions. And Lord, I pray that today changes something in Johnson County. That the state and the church start working together on behalf of the children. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you, guys. Whew. Okay, that was fun. I want to do that again. That was great. You know, it's one of those when you've been doing this for 5 years and this is a first, it's kind of fun to see how God's moving on behalf of the church. So what is the church supposed to do? I'm going to show you some very practical things. We're going to jump into scripture. We define what their job is and the church does in this space in four main lanes here. And the yellow describes it, preservation. We want to work together with you, CPS, and preserving those families, right? Keeping the family unit together if we can. If it doesn't happen and the child has to come into foster care is reunification, church. I know I get it all the time. I just don't know if I can give that child back. You did not birth that child, okay? Got to remember that. The mission of foster care is reunification. Sometimes we, the foster families and the church, have no contact with that biological family. Sometimes we can, okay? Somehow we want to be praying at the minimum, which is a lot, but praying for these biological families that they get their lives together, okay? And we can just babysit for a season in foster care. And I'm not minimizing. I'm not saying it's easy. I'll unpack that here in a minute. People say being a foster adopted family is the hardest thing they've ever done in their life. But it's the most rewarding thing they've ever done. Okay, and we're going to unpack that here in a minute. Then you got transition. Those are the kids that transition out. In Texas, there's about 1,400 kids that transition out. Now, here's the thing. Am I up here saying everybody's called to adopt? Nope. All right? Listen, been in ministry for 17 years. I've realized that not every adult should reproduce. Right? Okay. Even though they do sometimes. Okay? Therefore, not every adult should foster adopt. Okay? So some of you can just go, okay, good, because I thought he was going to say, I am empty nested. No, you know, empty nesters, you're not out of this, okay? I have realized on our tour here when we recruit families and churches, well, I don't know, 40, 50% of the families that respond to foster adopt are empty nesters. It's interesting because they got some empty beds and they need to fill it. So everyone else, you know, the foster adopt people are at the run stage, right? Welcome home. Concrete services is the crawl stage. I see some grandmas and grandpas in here, okay? When I see grandma and grandpas, my grandma trained me well, I think of food. I just do, right? So I would believe there's some grandmas and grandpas in here that can cook some meals for concrete services and support some families like me who bring in a foster care placement. Because it's chaos. You think the newborn thing is hard? Oh. Bring in a toddler who's been has PTSD into your home at midnight. Okay? So the church can come around and crawl and do some wrap, we call this wraparound services, where they do some concrete services, and maybe it's clothes. You know, we got our foster care placement. We needed 4T clothes. And we asked our church families, and they said, hey, we'll come bring you a bin of 4T clothes. And so some families brought some boys 4T clothes. Okay, support services, that's the next level, okay? So you got concrete, then you got support. Support is simply where you're helping babysit, right? Like, we foster parents can't just have our relatives or our friends babysit. We have to have someone who is licensed at babysitting through the process that CPS and these other agencies put in place, okay? Churches can do support groups and parent classes and addiction recovery classes. And I think down the road, I think in Burleson, there's a pastor who did a Celebrate Recovery, and he connected with a local judge, and now that judge sends families, and they're doing preservation through support services, okay? And then you got the welcome home. So that's the shotgun, the broad approach. At the end of the day, the keep, this is the wall looking down on a castle, right? That for every foster adopt family that God might want to raise up in the future here at this church, we need a support system for them, okay? And that's what you see, the meals team, like a prayer team, a child care team, and a coach. A coach just is kind of like a liaison between the agencies that we work with and stuff like that. So that's what the keep does. That's what we do in our day-to-day. And we're just starting this journey. This is kind of like one of those, like, you ever done a building campaign? Did I see some building plans out in the foyer? Okay, so when you got to the building campaign, right, at the beginning, it was like, hey, here's some blueprints, right? This is the blueprint. We're not cutting the ribbon yet. That's a few months from now, okay? Pastor's Mike's heart is pretty big. We've been having some great conversations about some things that he can see his church, your church here, doing. Today's just starting the conversation, okay? So let's talk about what the Bible says. I've talked to you about some statistics. I've talked to you about my story on this. But let's look at what the Bible has to say. Some of you guys use that app, YouVersion. If you'll pull open that YouVersion Bible app, or if you don't have it, just download it from your app store there. And I believe if you go to the, events? Thank you. Events area. You'll see just a real skinny version of our notes here this morning. If you are taking notes, and I was at youth camp this week, and our youth pastor says, note takers are history makers. And I like that. I'm going to steal that there, okay? So note takers are history makers. So if you're taking notes, the title this morning is called Adoptive Love. Everybody say Adoptive Love. And if you don't have the app and you have your Bible there, the paperback version, go open up to Romans chapter 8. That's where we're going to spend our time here, looking at a very spiritually rich text about this space that God's called me into. And it's really the theology of adoption. What does the Bible say about this, you know? And we're going to unpack that today a little bit here. And so, again, the title is Adopted Love. The first half of our conversation here is going to be that we were orphaned. We were orphaned. Everyone in this room was born spiritually orphaned. We see it in this text right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Good news. "If you live by the Spirit, however, and you put to death the misdeeds of the body, then you'll live." I love these like paradox passages. To live is to die. To die to self, to die to our desires, to die to our American comfort. The day we start dying to flesh is the day we start to live. For any believer in here, this is simply a reminder to us that we, when we've been saved, that what we've come out of, and that it really is a daily fight for our flesh. So let's talk about this orphan thing here. It says, we were orphaned. The spiritual orphaned aspect of our journey, we can see a couple things here. Sorry, my technology is being glitchy there. We need to remember that we were born with and into problems. with and into problems. So think about that spiritually. When we were born, November 8th, myself, a few years ago, I was born with some issues. I had this natural propensity to sin, to think things, to do things, to say things that fall short of God's glory. Okay? Parent of four, I saw that in my house. I didn't teach them mine. It just came out, right? It is mine. You know, our kids, they just have this desire to be about themselves. So do we. And we need to remember that we're born with this sinful nature that wants to just, that falls short. Romans 3:23 actually says it this way, that we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. And basically what that's saying is that God has this perfect love strategy and marker in life, and we fall short. We're human. We can't be perfect. We fall short of that. We need to remember that. We also need to remember the number two, the high price. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Good news, church, is that when we were born with sin, something had to die for us to be forgiven of our sin. Yeah, that's tough to swallow, right? Something has to die? Yeah, someone has to pay for this sin. There was a high price for our spiritual adoption, and the price was death. And you know this story, that Jesus Christ paid that price as he traveled from the comfort of heaven, from his home, to our home, earth, to be murdered for us. The ultimate price. We need to remember that. The next thing we see here is that we remember that he loved us in spite of our issues. Romans 5:8, one of the most mind-blowing scriptures, says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we had tons of issues, we were orphaned, we were separated. That there's a wall between us and God, and it was the sin of our sinful decisions and actions and thoughts even built that wall between us and God. And we were orphaned. You know, and sometimes in our sinful nature, we have what we on this side call attachment issues, right? Kids have attachment issues sometimes. When we're spiritual orphans, we have attachment issues. Though we knock down this wall, we want to like walk with God, and we turned our back on sin, we are sometimes attached to that sin. And sometimes we go back to that sin. But we need to keep running to God and understand that he loves us. He wanted relationship with us. He wanted to become our Father. There's a spiritual side to this. There's also the physical side to this. I'm talking about these kiddos, 4,000, 90 here in your county. They were born into problems. These kids, just like, it's like a parallel, church, the spiritual side and the physical side, right? These kids were born into problems. They didn't sign up for these problems. You know, in the church, you know, when I got saved in high school, the church was very strong on being sanctity of life, right? And rightly so. We want to, you know, protect children, right? But what's happened is the church forgot about all these kids that we were trying to protect in the womb. That they got born, and some of them didn't have the best situation, and they ended up into the 30,000 kids in the system. This is reminding us that these kids need our help. On the physical side, that they too have a high price. Adoptions are expensive. You know, foster to adopt is probably one of the most cost-effective. But some people go outside of foster care and do private adoption. You could get anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000, right? If you go international, you're up to $25,000 to $50,000. The cost for adoption is high. I've seen miracle after miracle of God paying the actual financial price for the orphan, just like he did for us spiritually. God's not limited by money. It requires lots of travel sometimes, just like Christ came from heaven to to earth on his travels. You know, one of the things I've learned now from becoming a foster parent, it cost us some comfort too. It's challenging to be a family who brings in a foster adoption placement. But God's bigger. God's bigger. He can help us. He can equip us. Their team and other teams in our community can help us and equip us. We need to remember this concept, church, that we are not called to comfort. We're called to combat. Ephesians chapter 6 says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Yeah, the principality is the spirit, the darkness. So our battle is not against CPS. See, what we have to learn is like, they're going to mess up sometimes. Because last time I checked, they're human. CPS, we're going to mess up sometimes. There's 300 pages of minimum standards. You guys got to cut us some slack. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying. We're going to miss one of those 300 pages sometimes, okay? So the scripture tells us, he who is without sin cast the first stone right here. They're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. But we got to do our best to help these kids, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard and challenging, but we're called to pay that price of combat. Number three, they need love. These kids need love in spite of their issues. Just like God loved us in spite of our issues, they need his love through us in spite of their issues. You know, most of these kids probably weren't trained up in the ways of the Lord. Just like me, I was actually a spiritual orphan. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. A church like yours brought me in as a spiritual orphan and adopted me as part of their congregation. I posted a few days ago, was 24 years ago, I got called into ministry. And my volunteer youth pastor woman, her name's Pam, went on Facebook and said, "Eric, I'm so glad you answered that call." And so my youth pastor in a church like this, you know, is still in contact with a spiritual orphan that they adopted in. I cost her some things sometimes. I made some stupid decisions on some youth trips, right? These kids are going to cost us some things from time to time, but we need to love them in spite of their issues. Some are going to have the ADD, ADHD, fetal alcohol syndrome, special needs, medical needs. Listen, I know of families who signed up, got a child, it was too hard, and they wanted out. Church, that's another rejection. We can't do that. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. It's not going to be easy, but God has called the church to do this. We need to do it no matter what the cost on our side, in spite of their issues, in spite of the behavior. You know, we've had families that, you know, they brought them into Walmart and they dropped, can I say, the F-bomb in Walmart, in next, you know, and everybody turned around and they're like, how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to show these kids love? They're just acting out something that's been put inside of them. We got to love them in spite of the trauma that's going to come out of their lives. Orphans want families. Their hearts are searching for a mom and a father. And it's in Scripture. You know, when God started showing me all these scriptures throughout the Bible, you know, Moses, Exodus chapter 2, when Moses was the first foster care placement, right? Pulled out of like the church right there, sent into an adoption. The government, Pharaoh brought him in, gave government housing, government education, government health care, right? Then the government said, "Hey, church, we need you to come help raise him." Come on, do you see that? Exodus chapter 2, Esther, Mephibosheth, Psalms and Proverbs, Romans, James talks about this. It's all through Scripture. Even culture gets it. It's in our culture around us. Look, what happened to me is what I call the yellow Jeep syndrome. There was a time when I had two kids, not four kids, right? Where I wanted a yellow Jeep Wrangler. Oh, yeah. I saw a black one yesterday, and I just drooled over it. I was just kind of like wiping my drool, but I wanted big tires like that. I actually wanted lights on top, and I wanted a winch up front because it's a ministry, guys, right? Helping people when the roads get slick one day a year, right? Okay. So, yeah, my wife laughed too. I haven't gotten my Jeep yet, maybe one day. But guess what happened when I was looking for Jeeps? I saw Jeeps all over the road, right? I saw red ones, black ones, blue ones, white ones. They were everywhere. Ooh, look at those tires. Look at the lights. Ooh, look at that winch right there. That's cool, okay? Like, I saw all these things. Same thing happened for me when that dreaded day and I went into minivan world. It's like the world was overtaking us by minivans. You know, there's minivans everywhere. You know what I'm talking about, right? You look for a car and you see that car all over the road, right? The same thing happens when God opens our eyes to the plight of the orphan. We start seeing it everywhere. I see those big, like, multi-passenger, like, family vans, and I go, that has to be an adopted family right there. I was walking around our campgrounds at Lakeview this week at our camp, and I'm a pastor. I just saw a family and said, "Hey, how's it going?" And they engaged. I said, "Where are you guys from?" They said, "Houston." And I saw in their family there was an Anglo, white mom and dad, an Anglo boy, and an African American little boy. Talked to him, and I said, "Hey, I like it that your family has a lot of different color. Is there a story there?" And she said, "Oh yeah." And she started telling her story. It was the yellow Jeep syndrome. I started seeing it. Church, we got to see it. We got to see it in Scripture. We got to see it in the worship songs. We got to see it in our own life, the adoption that God's given us. Batman. He was an orphan. Remember? Think about the movies. I'm going to mess you up now. Every movie you watch. Look, I just sit there. I just sit with my family. I go, yeah, it's good, it's good. I was orphaned. You see that? The media uses it all the time. Batman, the greatest superhero, let's be honest, was Superman. Right? No? No, haters? I got haters in there. Okay. The media, remember when this one, the new one came out right here? One of our family favorites is Buddy the Elf. You guys seen this? I know it's not, we have Christmas in June, right? Buddy the Elf was raised in this orphanage. He snuck into Santa's bag, was brought to the North Pole. And then at some point it clicked. He had a dad, really God-sized hole in his heart. And he wanted to find out who his biological dad was. So I'm going to show you a quick clip of when Buddy met his dad for the first time.
Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs, it's me on the intercom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad! All right, let's get it over with.
I walked all day and night to find you.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
Exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Oh, yeah, sure. He just got off the cell phone with me.
You did?
So, go on.
Go on with what?
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. I found you, Daddy. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Wow. Weird. Usually guys just put my name in the jingle bells or something.
It's me, your son. Susan Wells had me, and she didn't tell you, and but now I'm here. It's me, Buddy.
Susan Wells. You said Susan Wells?
Yes.
Who sent this Christmas gram?
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
I think we should call security.
Good idea.
I like to whisper too. It's okay, Walter's my father.
Well, your dad's busy right now.
Okay, I'll come back later.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to come back for a while, okay? You're going to go back to Sandland.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you go back to Gimbel's?
I love that little story, Buddy. Obviously, I'm having some fun there, bringing a little light. You know, it's like when God got me in this, I'm like, God, I come from youth ministry. This is a serious subject. I've got to lighten it up here. So that's my youth pastor coming out right there, but listen to the facts of this, though. If these children do not get back to their biological family or do not find homes in the church, they're headed to the street. Just like you saw Buddy being pushed into the street. You know what that means? I was talking to Pastor Colin here before. He's worked in, he said he spent some time in prison. I mean, as, you know, on staff. Staff. Is that right? Staff, yeah. But he was being used by God on staff at in a jail or prison. I said, I don't know if you know this, bud, but I said, hey, Texas determines a percentage of beds in prison on the number of kids in foster care. Okay, so you got prison system. You got homelessness. It's feeding the homelessness. Our addiction ministries like Teen Challenge are getting fed by the foster care system and failed adoptions. You ready for this? Human trafficking in the U.S. 74% of the children trafficked in the U.S. come from foster care. 70%. And I'm being conservative. Church, we have to step up. We have to go upstream and help these kids. Let's talk about this. What is Romans telling us about this problem and how the church can be the solution? Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for those of us who are led by the Spirit of God are called what? Children of God. We've been adopted into this family. Then verse 15 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you can live in fear. You don't live in fear, but rather the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're His children, then check this out. We're heirs. We get an inheritance from our heavenly daddy that paid the ultimate price for our adoption. We're heirs of God, co-heirs with our brother Christ. And if indeed what? We share in the sufferings. Right here, this is showing us that when you step into the space of fostered adoption and you bring a child who is hurting in your own backyard into your home, you're going to join that child. You're going to join Christ in sufferings. Only when we suffer will we really understand what Christ went through and receive the inheritance that God Himself gave through His awesome Son, Jesus. It's not through a gospel of comfort. It's through a gospel of pain. Of battle, spiritual battle at the minimum, but sometimes it's even physically and emotionally going on a journey with these hurting kids. Then we can share in His glory. So our spiritual adoptions give us a new family. We get to be children of God. Like, church, if we just woke up in the morning and thought about this all day, just one thing, we're children of God. I'm a child of God. My daddy loves me. No matter what I do, my daddy loves me. His love's unconditional. I think it would change how we think, how we live, if we just let it soak in how much our Heavenly Father loves us. For me, it's like when I come home from work, I get in the door and I hear that door open. Daddy! They like tackle me. That's the picture I see, that when we give our lives to God and we run to Him and say, God, thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. John 1:12 says, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13 says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human desire or husband's will, but born of God. As I told you, I wasn't raised in a godly home. They're believers now by the grace of God. If I didn't have my spiritual family, I would not have made it. I would not have made it. I needed that family. I also needed a different future because my past was ugly. I was talking to somebody before church. I think God wants us to see life through like the windshield, not the rearview mirror. That we see hope and future like this text says. John 10:10 says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. You know what that picture is? It's like overflowing. It's such an interesting thing because I'm talking about like life is hard, but look at the inheritance and the fact that we're children of God. We get to have all these things in our life. We get a new perspective. We get to see things differently. We get a new joy, a new peace, a new freedom that we've never felt before. Because see, when I was not saved, I was walking towards sin. I was walking towards my desires for the things I wanted. Me, me, me. But I stopped. I committed my sins to God. The ABCs, I accepted the fact that I was sinning and I was falling short of God's glory. A, B, I believed that God loved me so much He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. And C, I stopped. I committed my sins and said, God, I commit all my past to You. All these things that I've done, I give them to You. I lay it down at Your feet. But the other commitment I said is I'm going to commit to turn my back, to repent from those sins. And I'm going to walk towards You, Daddy, who loves me and paid the higher price than anybody on earth could ever pay. He paid the ultimate price through His Son, Jesus. Our names are in our Father's last will and testament. That's amazing. We're heirs for eternity. We get to inherit. This life is temporary. CPS, I don't know if you go to church or not. I don't know. I'm spitting and stuff like that, so you might be freaking out. I'm sorry if you are. I get it. But you know, when I think about this part, I just think our perspective, you know, is definitely that what you guys are, the hard stuff that you go through, for Christians, that's the closest to hell that we'll ever get, are those crazy situations. And for me, the thing that when we go into combat like that and we go into fight for these kids and try to help them and their parents, and life gets hard or is hard for you, you need to remember that this life is temporary. And if this is zero to your death, birth to death, eternity goes to that wall and beyond. And it's this inheritance that we get to receive, this future. So I don't know about you, but I want to invest in the future, not in my past anymore. We also get a new home spiritually. We get to go to heaven instead of hell. Have you read about hell? I don't want to go there. 2 days ago, it was hot. I'm running around camp, sweating, stinking, getting burnt. I'm like, man, this is nothing compared to what hell is going to be like. And then the glory rain came yesterday, right? And cooled it down. Hell's going to be hot. With this adoption, we get a new home, a new purpose to know Him. Our new purpose. It's no longer about us. Our new purpose is to know God and make Him known. That's our mission. Our mission before Christ was, it's all about me or the dollar bill or being successful or getting my name on a plaque, or being honored in my family, or being honored at my job. And it's all about something that's temporary. But God's saying, no, no, no. There are things that are eternal that matter way more than what we see here today. When we get adopted, we get to join the Father's greatest mission and start populating heaven and bankrupting hell. That's the mission God's called us to do. We are adopted as Christians. We overflow in His love. We get to do that. We get to take what happens here and take it out to Johnson County. We need to live so on fire for God that hell wishes that we were never born. That's the mission God has called us to live. Listen to me, church, one of the greatest ways we can overflow this adoption that we've received is to be involved in this space of foster, adoption, and support somehow. To no longer sit in the stands and say, oh, I'm happy for that country, and that family. Listen, biblically, every believer is mandated to do something for orphans. You're either called to foster, adopt, or support. It's that simple. It's not an option. I don't know how we lost this, like, throughout our Christendom, right? It's like, no, we're mandated for that Sunday school curriculum. Nope, not mandated for that. Oh, that carpet is a mandate. Nope. That stainless glass is a mandate. Nope. That paint is a mandate. Nope. Well, Uncle Fred, he built that. Nope. The Bible says that we're mandated to care for orphans. That's what we're mandated to do. So let's talk about that. These kids need a new family sometimes. Sometimes the new family can be their family getting some help, and they become a totally new family, a new unit. It can happen. The ministry of reconciliation or restitution can still happen. I know they got to decide that. We can't do it for them and enable them, church, okay? It's another conversation for another day. But we can do some things to help preserve the family. We can foster, we can adopt. They need brothers and sisters. They need a new future. Some of these kids are caught in a vicious generational sinful cycle. I know CPS workers that have told me that they've met with this little girl. They said, man, your name sounds familiar. And they looked up the records, and sure enough, her mom was in CPS, and sure enough, her grandma was a child in foster care. Whew. You feel that? God can help break the cycle. Because if we don't break the cycle, then we feed homelessness, prison, addiction, child slavery, child soldiers, trafficking, drug dealers, everything that you can list. God wants us to live out that love so that kids' lives can be changed forever. And these kids need a new home sometimes. Now, I'm talking on earth on one side, you know. Sometimes they just need a new environment for a season so they can get their lives back together. New healthy routines. I know it's crazy, but just brushing their teeth. I mean, drinking water instead of high fructose corn syrup every meal. You know what I'm just saying? These kids need new lifestyle changes in their life to help them. New beds, new clothes, maybe even have a bed, maybe even get shoes. But not just on earth, the church, this is a different layer we get. They get a new home in heaven. That these kids come into our homes and we pray over them and we bring them to church that would love them like this church would. They get a new physical family, but not just that, but a spiritual one. The orphan crisis is the church's problem, and it's time for the church to rise up and be the solution. We've seen it work a lot of times. Worship team, you can come forward. This is one of our friends here. We started about 5 years ago, but the first year was kind of raising the budget, the support. Next year was trying to figure out, you know, like how God wants to do this and leaning on some spiritual giants in this field, Bishop Aaron Blake, some of you guys know, and our superintendent here, and figuring stuff out. Then we got going. Our first adoption, when we came into a church and did something like this, and then we trained the church leadership on how to start a model, and we came and recruited families to say, hey, if there's any family who's interested in fostering adoption support, you know, I want you to respond. The Golett family was one of the first families that stepped up in Region 3 right here, and really the ministry throughout the U.S. It started right here in Region 3, okay? This family stepped up. They had two kiddos here on the sides. And then you see little Gabby right there on Dustin's lap right there. She was in foster care. She was being neglected at home. Nobody was taking care for her. Neighbors who cared made the phone call, called it in. And here comes CPS to do their job and remove this child because this child would not have made it had CPS not stepped in. You guys can start playing maybe something underneath real quick. By the grace of God, this family was ready. She came into their family. She was adopted about 3 years ago into this family. Her name is changed on earth. Her name is being changed in heaven. She has a new home, a new family, a new future. This family didn't stop. A year ago, they got the phone call again because they opened their home. This isn't fictional. This is a true story. This newborn was found in a dumpster. They got the call, and how do you say no to that? They brought this little guy in, extremely malnourished, skinny, skinny legs. Today he is plump and healthy, and we just found out a few days ago
that the case is moving to adoption, and it looks like this family is going to change the future of another child. Are they superheroes? No. They're obedient children of God who understand their adoption, that we've been given a gift that we can't keep to ourselves, that we have to give it out. Now, they were called to foster. They're called to adopt. But they're moving into a stage where they're just going to support. All are great. One is not less than the other. But why is the church so poised to be one of the greatest solutions that this state and other states have? It's because of the spiritual adoption that we've received. So I don't know if you've been coming to this church for your whole life, or maybe you just stepped in for the first day today, or you've been coming for weeks. I have to believe at a church of this size, there's somebody in this place who says, you know what? I don't know that I've really made that commitment. Or I've been walking, doing my own thing, and I've been walking in that sinful lifestyle, and I stopped, and I prayed. Prayer is just talking to God. And I committed my sin to God, and I committed my life, and I turned my back on sin, and I started walking towards the things of God. Some of you in this room need to make that commitment for the first time this morning. It's just a prayer away. But you would pray with us here in a minute and say, God, I want you to be my Heavenly Father. I want you to forgive me of my sin, and I thank you that you paid that ultimate price. Maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe at some time in your life, you were walking with God, you turned your back on sin, you started walking towards God, and something happened, man. Life got hard again. I don't know, but you turned your back on God, and you started walking towards a sinful lifestyle again. And you need to recommit your life. Whether it's a first-time commitment or a recommitment, God sent me here today to tell you that He loves you. That He paid the ultimate price for your adopted love. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians are praying. If you're in this church today and you know you need to commit or recommit your life, would you just slip up your hand so we can pray with you? You know, you need to commit or recommit your life to God with that adopted love. Just slip up your hand. Get your eyes up and looking at me here. Listen, that means either you lied to me or you're all saved, okay? Or you just weren't ready to raise your hand. That's okay, too. If you're ready, if you want to talk to us later, you'd make my day, you'd make Pastor's Day. If you want to come talk to us and you didn't raise your hand, you're like, maybe I should have. Come talk to us. Everyone else, I'm going to talk to the church then. Okay, church? Listen, we got a job to do. Who in here is interested? You're interested in fostering or adopting. I'm not saying, like, I'm doing it, you know, and you're ready, because there's a lot of paperwork. They call it a paperwork pregnancy for a reason, okay? There's a lot of things you got to do. Get your house ready. Amen. Right? So yes, right? A lot of things you got to do. You're just interested. And it's not like if you raise your hand, there's going to be a bunch of kids that pop out of the doors here. Okay? I'm just saying, are you interested in fostering, adopting? Raise your hand. I'm just interested. I love this because I see nudges. So either I'm getting in trouble by the husbands, or I'm getting in trouble by the wives. I don't know. Raise it up again. I want to see what's going on. The church, raise it up here, because I'm going to do a little illustration, okay? You're interested. Keep it up there. Look it up in the balcony up there. Okay, I see one right here. Two. Keep it up high. Just keep it with me. Three. Four. I see that hand. All right. Five. Six-ish. Okay, I'm seeing six, okay? Keep your hand raised. Here's what I want you to see. Church, if you didn't raise your hand to foster adopt, guess what you raised your hand for? Support. Okay? So keep your hands raised. Look right here. Can I be bold for a second? Can you guys stand up? I know you're dying to stand up. You guys have raised your hand. Stand up for me real quick. I just want to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. Okay? Church, look at this. Yeah, give them a hand. Come on. Two things I'm thinking of. One, you guys got to come see me. I want to get your name. Stand up for a second. We're going to pray for you, okay? All right. I know. I'm sorry. Stand up, sit down. I want to get your name so we can help follow up and get you through the process, okay?
Cool.
Two, this church needs to start orphan care right now, and we need to start supporting you in prayer right now, okay? So if you know one of these people standing up, go ahead and move to them wherever you are. You can move next to them. You can stand up, move next to them. I'll just, everybody just stand up to your feet right here. I know you're dying. You've been sitting for a while. I preached a long time, Pastor. Turn around, get your hand, you know, women in the back, maybe you could turn around and pray for this lady back here and couples, okay? I want us to start right now praying for these families who are interested in moving to the next level. They cannot do it without God's help, and they can't do it without your help. Father, we need you. These warriors who just said they're interested, and there's probably others that just didn't raise their hand, God, but you are speaking to their hearts. I pray that you would rise them up. Help them to know that this is not easy. It's challenging. But it's so rewarding as well. There's nothing you cannot handle, Father. Help this church to move forward in caring for these kids, these families, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Last opportunity I want to put in front of you is I need your help. That's the first thing I want you to do is help me with awareness. You guys that are social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, @KeepOrphans is our handle. Please find our stuff, follow our stuff, retweet it. Help us bring awareness so more churches get involved. We need your prayer. Listen, the governor did not send a video to our group 2 weeks ago because we're smart enough. I'm convinced he sent that video because God's people are praying and the church is rising up. We need your prayer. I have prayer cards at our little table out there. I'd love for you guys to grab one of these prayer cards and be praying for our family. We're missionaries, so be praying for us as we travel. I go unpack, repack, and head to Springfield, Missouri today, so lots of travel prayers we need, right? And finances. We're missionaries. We raise our support. We're not paid by the government. We're not paid by anybody else. We primarily get paid through mission support. Your church is going to be blessing us today to help get more kids. Every prayer and every dollar that goes towards this helps reach one more child. We can't do it without you. Pastor, thanks so much for letting me be there.
Wow. Eric, thank you so much, man. I encourage you to stop by their table on the way out and do keep them in prayer. Pastor Mike has seeded some things with you guys over the last few weeks. Care Portal, he's talked a little bit about the Keep, and there will be more things to come when he gets back in the pulpit, and we'll share some things that are being birthed even right now. So just be in prayer, not just for Eric and the Keep, but also what's coming down the pike here at Bethel Temple Cleburne. And man, you guys, CPS, you guys have blessed us by being here today. What an incredible. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning. So let me just pray a prayer of dismissal. You're free to go if you would like prayer. We're here. The altars are open. But let me pray, and then you're free to go. Father, we just thank you so much for your word that has gone forth today. We pray for Eric, for his team. Lord, we pray for what's to come for Bethel Temple. Father, we thank you for the awesome, incredible opportunity that you've afforded us to have these CPS workers here with us this morning. And we do just pray a prayer of blessing over them as they go. And God, that you would use them powerfully. God, as they are for sure on the front lines in this fight, this battle. And God, as doors and opportunities open up for us, let us be bold and step forward to do what you've called us to do as we care for those who are the most needy around us. We just thank you again for this day. Ask, Father God, that you would go with us, be with us in a special way as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Find a connection group. Plug in tonight at 5 o'clock. You are good. You are good. And there's nothing good in me. You are life. You are life. On display for all to see. You are love. You are love. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sins. Jesus.